on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day, Rugby League fans. This is Robbie Hunter Pool Show, talking nothing but Rugby League for the next Power Hour. So, talking about Power Hours, we have in the studio that Aaron Bauer.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening, everyone.
And it's not the Aaron Bauer Hour, but it's a Power Hour Rugby League. We also have Leon Price in the studio.
Good evening. Good evening.
He's been away. He's been getting a tan. He's got a tan, permanent tan, but he's been getting a better tan. Where have you been, Leon? Greece, is
Greece,
it?
Greece, yeah, Greece.
Tell you what, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. So in saying that, I've been in Mallorca for the last 7 days as well, so I can't be too jealous, that is. And I've been absolutely gorgeous. We also got the Brafin Bulls' new head coach, and I say new with inverted commas about it, Jeff Tuvey, finally got his work visa across the line. I think it was yesterday, or it might have been today, but it was in the newspapers. Apparently promoted today, so fantastic. He's going to be in the studio. They're just coming down from the Providence Stadium, Odsall, right as we speak. But there's loads of rugby league to talk about this weekend. Challenge Cup coming up this weekend. Championship goes on. National League One also. So let's get it on.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Good evening, boys. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm very good. So let's talk about The Price is Right. No, it is priceless. The book, the one and only. It comes out this Friday.
Yep.
And you're going to give us a sign. This is where you use your words, mate. You've just written a book full of words. You and Aaron.
I'm waiting for you to ask me a question.
Aaron's giggling about it.
I'm waiting for you to ask me a
year.
Question. You can't just answer a question. You just, I'm not needing to sell it. You sell it.
You do need to sell it because it's your book. And
ask me a question.
You've got to start doing the studio, going from studio to studio, bookstore to bookstore, doing the signing sessions.
I'm not that famous anymore.
You are. Of course you are.
You are.
One of the most decorated rugby league players of all time.
I hope you are famous, otherwise this is not going to go well.
Yeah, Aaron's like, you better be. Of course you are. But I've got to admit, I think we're seeing the sort of... It's a bit frightening, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Bringing a book out?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I tried to make a point of not saying out there that'd be too controversial, because knowing me, I usually put my foot in it somewhere. So I'm not too worried, because I think there's nothing there that really can trip me up. A lot of the things are things that happened 10, 15 years ago, like the James Graham story. So
yeah.
It's nothing that's really recently that can hurt anybody. There's not negative really in there, so it's all good.
No, tell them there's controversy. Tell everyone that there's sex, drugs, and rock and roll in there.
There's lots of stories. It's interesting. It's not all rugby. It's, you know, so 20 years of having fun and giggles and jokes and messing about, and also with the rugby involved as well. Because
there's been a little bit of rugby play.
When I sit and read books, I don't really want to wait. Well, then I went and played this game. Then I went and played that game. And after this game, and then I iced my legs, and then I did a stretch. Because
we do it on the show.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's boring, isn't it? So I think people have been insane. You know, it's put that way.
The journey, though. The journey. I mean, I felt when I wrote my autobiography, I felt quite. It was a humbling experience. It was a fantastic experience, but I felt quite nervous about how I once it was out there, and obviously it gets launched on Friday. And just to know, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving away two things today. So all you need to do is contact us at pulse1.co.uk. You'll be able to get your hands on the very first signed copy of Leon's priceless book, a very first, and I say that. Because there's about 50 very first signed copies. But you'll get the very first signed copy and also a family pass to this weekend's game up at the Providence Stadium, Odsall. So I was just saying, when I wrote the autobiography and the early days of that, of when it was actually launched, I was quite nervous because, you know, you kind of expose yourself. You're showing people a side of yourself that is quite raw. And for me, I was quite nervous about that.
I'm not really nervous about that because I think... it's nice always to get your side across, because obviously in our world we're prejudged many a times, and we're judged on things that we say in media that are scripted for the media, so it's, you know, politically correct, and you've got to say things in the right way. And obviously over years we've had a couple of incidents and done wrong things, done right things, but it's nice to put your version across without having to be politically correct speaking.
No, no, I get that. I get that. Don't you feel, though, as you've got older, you've been able to learn to deal with the media a little bit better and you can get more of your personality across? I watch a lot of young players. They get the microphone put in front of them and they're so frightened that they're going to say something wrong or they shouldn't say something, and it's become very bland.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's the personalities is really what guys like Aaron, who make a living out of writing about, you know, the personalities of the game. It's the personalities like yourself and those story and your journey and your story and what got you to that their pinnacle and the trials and tribulations that you've had along that journey that makes for really intriguing reading.
Yeah, but I think that's we're a result of our industry, really, where it's a very much working class sport. Anybody who stands out a little bit gets ridiculed in a way. It's like, who does he think he is? So everybody wants to stay under the radar, because anybody who goes above the radar, anybody who stands out a little bit, who likes the media work, who stands out a little bit, a lot of the time within the clubs can hear him go, who's he think he is? So I think that's a lot of the reason why the lads keep it nice
so
and
reserved.
Yeah, so reserved, because they don't want to be seen as a big-time child.
Do you think it could be also the banter culture that we have in the sport as well? Because obviously you do put your head above the parapet, you get absolutely hammered in
anybody, the changing room. Anybody who comes across too cocky or too, you know, loving the limelight a little bit too much, and they get whacked straight back into play. So I think the lads are very conscious, because it's sad in a way as well, because it don't give the individuals to get a profile, like an individuality, like they're doing in football and other sports. In rugby league, we're kind of moulded into one, aren't we?
We sure certainly are. Now, Aaron, you co-wrote this book. You obviously put pen to paper. Leon told the stories. He took you on his journey with you. You drew that out of him. Come on, how hard was he really to work with?
Easy. He's a breath
of fresh air. There's so much to say.
Yeah, so much. Never stops talking. He's a writer's dream. The amount of stories that we talked about and we didn't even use, because just genuinely, like, either not wanting to use them or just not enough room. We could have done two books.
Bit nervous. Because a lot of people don't realise that if you say something libelous, everybody can get sued. The company that sells the newspapers, sells the books, the company
involved
that delivered the book from the manufacturers to the papers, absolutely everybody can get sued.
Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Yeah, don't worry about that. We've made sure it's gone through a watertight process. We're all right.
We use Northern Books. Is it Northern Books?
Great Northern Books.
Great Northern Books. I use them as well. So they understand the process really well.
Yeah, they've done Keith Senior, Kevin Sinfield. So, yeah, we're in good company. And Robbie Paul, obviously.
And Robbie Hunter.
It was Robbie Paul at the time, wasn't it?
I think it was Robbie Hunter Paul at that point in time. Yeah. I'd retired and I became Robbie Hunter Paul in 2010. So Leon, you were just sharing, you said about the James Graham story, because I'm sure you actually come back and we had a night out just after the incident, and you told me about this yourself. And weren't you heavily involved in it?
Not really, no, but I got the blame for it.
That's right, I think it was. I think Gilly might have been speaking to Gilly then. Gilly may have blamed you.
Right, no, it definitely were to do with Lee Gilmore. What, do you want me to tell a story?
Yeah.
All right, well, ask me then.
Leon, tell the story about James
Graham.
All right,
I will do, thank you.
It's in the book.
So it's, cut a long story short, with 2006, we just won the grand final. We'd had the drink celebration on a Saturday. It's the Sunday morning, we get up early to go back to the Griffin where we all meet. James Graham's not stopped drinking all night. He's absolutely shattered. Gets the key off us to go to the room and have a sleep. Gilly has been having battles with Jammer all season, so...
Banter. Battles.
Gets in a taxi, goes round to Tesco's, get some Vidal Sassoon black hair dye.
He's gone to the extent of getting in a cab and going to Tesco's to do all of this.
Comes back, we all go upstairs, me, Foz, Gilly and Blue, go upstairs, Gilly gets the hair dye out, dyes his hair. Dyes his eyebrows. But it all starts running in his eyes, so we thought we'd better get to wake him up, because if it runs into his eyes, it could do some damage.
Blind him, yeah.
So Jammer, wake up, he's startled, he don't know what's going on. We throw him in the shower, put shower on, comes round, realises what's happened, goes berserk, boom, punches a window, but doesn't hit the glass, it's the lat in between, and hits the wall, I think hit the wall. Went berserk, ran out of the room, And then we didn't see him, and all we got were phone calls saying, "I'm coming back. You better move your car. I'm going to blow it up." So half an hour later,
and you know what he's like.
Yeah, half an hour later, he comes back. He's got a petrol canister full of petrol. He's about to start pouring it on my car, my Yorkshire bus. So we had to stop him there, and I said, "Jammer, no, stop it." So we're all arguing in the street. So then we all go to where we're drinking on the on the day session, and he turns up in this clapped out Corsa. He starts revving it on the street, tries to drive into us, and basically crashes his car into my car. That's how it ended.
Oh my gosh. And ladies and gentlemen, that book is absolutely rams packed full of those type of stories.
That's not even the best one. There's probably three or four that are completely miles back.
Three or four
of
that, yeah, just like
loads,
that, eh?
Loads.
All right, boys. So, look, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll have the man himself, Jeff Tuvey, in the house with us. So we'll talk a little bit more about Leon's book. We'll also be getting a lowdown on what's going on up at the Odsell Stadium, the Providence Stadium. All right, stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. I nearly forgot my own name then. You can tell I've been on holiday. Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're giving away a free family pass and the first ever signed copy of Leon Price's autobiography, Priceless. That's right.
That is right.
We'll give that away. I think we'll give it till Friday afternoon. Normally what we give it to, eh? Ewan, about right? Yeah, Friday afternoon. Just leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and just leave your details there and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. So a great prize to be picked up there. Leon Price, Aaron Bauer in the house. And we also have the man of the moment, Bradford Bulls new head coach, got his working visa through. Round of applause for Jeff Tuvey.
Oh, thank you very much.
That comes on for the first time, Jeff, gets a round of applause. It's only the first time. Actually, I think Stuart Fielding's got it three times. He's demanded it, though. He stood there flexing his big biceps, saying, "I demand you give me a round of applause." Jeff, the headache's over.
Well, it's been a long time coming, but I've got to follow the right procedures and processes, and it's finally arrived.
I mean, we actually do have in the studios in the background. He's a quiet operator, owner Andrew Chalmers. Andrew said to me very early on in the process, the first thing, because he's a international like myself, I still don't have a British passport either, Andrew. So you're a man of mystery that I am. It keeps with my exotic overseas stranger thing that I've got with my wife, you see, gives me a little bit of an edge.
Well, they do let New Zealanders into everywhere, don't they?
That's right. We're harmless, you see. We're welcomed. Welcomed across the width and breadth of the world. But Andrew did say to me that he wanted to go through the due process to make sure that this new regime, new administration that takes over the Bulls right from when they did back in January, does everything above board and crosses all the T's and dots all the I's. So we've finally got the visa over and done with. What does that mean for you as a coach? What does that mean for the Bulls now?
Look, I don't think it means too much for me as a coach, but it means a lot, I think, to the fans and the sponsors and the club itself. It means we can put down in concrete that we're going forward, that we've got some stability there. There's lots of things happening in the background, but obviously to have some stability in that head coaching department is a great plus for everyone.
Now, a statement in the Telegraph and Argus today, talking about support for the boys, support for the club, really needed at this point in time from the supporters out there to get behind the club. There's a great opportunity to pull the club really out from the minus point of the next few weeks and really break the back of that thing.
Well, it has been a bit of a monkey on our back, the minus two. We've been fighting fairly hard for the last 2 months to try and get rid of it. It just doesn't seem to be happening for us. The fans have been fantastic over the last, since the season kicked off, really. I think with Graham Lowe and Andrew Chalmers taking over the club at such late time, putting it together under the guidance with Leon there, rallying the troops, we managed to put a team together, and it's been tough going. Don't worry about that. Young players, inexperienced players. Now we're going through that period where we had some loan players have come and gone. There's injuries everywhere. So we're really struggling along. So we need that support. We need that extra boost. And the fans are the ones to give it to us.
And they certainly are. And obviously, putting Hawke'ara aside, they're still the best supported club in the championship. Everywhere you go, you take an army of supporters with you.
Yeah, I think it's a great tradition at Bradford. That the fans get behind their team, and we'll need it over the next couple of months for sure to try and get us over that hurdle. Hopefully we can do that this week in particular, to get off the minuses and get into the zeros, which sounds a bit weird, particularly after the start that we had in regards to the minus 12, no one knowing where the club was going for at least a month before the new owners took it over, losing most of the playing roster. So it has been tough, but the players, the coaches, the supporters, been fantastic. We just need to try and get that, I said, that makeover back, that minus two, and I think we'll launch into something special.
Psychologically, do you think that that'll have an impact on the squad itself?
I don't like to think that, but because I think they'd be professional and they'd be doing their best every week, but it is a big weight around our neck, yes. Mm. And I think once we do that, we break through that ceiling. Or the floor, we'll kick on.
I've got to admit, I look at it, and I can bring Leon and Aaron in on this. And Aaron, you're a Whipsy boy. You were brought up locally, so you would have watched a lot of rugby over the years as a teenager, watching Leon coming up. Obviously, probably watching myself play also. And now you work as a journalist within the sport. What do you? How does that look from that point of view of breaking the back of that minus 12?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as Jeff alluded to, they had a flying start. I mean, down to minus two in no time, really. I think everyone was really impressed with how Bradford went about it, with lots of young kids as well. I mean, that's the one constant of Bradford, isn't it? For 20 years, you know, you've seen such a great production line, and with guys like Bentley in there now as well, you can really start to see the next crop of youngsters coming through. I think the whole place might just get a bit of a lift, maybe more on the terraces than in the playing group when that zero arrives. I mean, if it is this weekend, I think suddenly you'll start to see a change in attitude from the fans again, I think, because obviously it has been tough last few weeks. It's been tough for everyone, excuse me, but I think, you know, when the day that zero arrives, I think the club can really start to sort of change focus and really start to kick on.
So let's look back a couple of weeks, Summer Bash. Weekend, fantastic sort of turnout against Hawke'ara. Game was on a knife edge, could have gone either way, right down to the last couple of minutes. You know, especially with the break that Dane Chisholm made. If he looks to his left, he's got a player in support. But over the last couple of weeks, sort of seen sort of the performances not hit the heady high. So the ability's there. It's whether or not, what is it?
Well, again, we've mentioned it a couple of times, and I don't like using excuses, so I don't. But we just need to be more consistent. It is a very young squad. We've had a lot of hiccups along the way. Dane Chisholm came in, was a bit of a boost. The weather conditions suited us, I think, that day against Hull. We put in a great performance. The next week, Dane's out. There's a bit of a lull. They lack a bit of confidence from time to time, that young squad and experience, and not realising that just because you're behind by 6 points, there's still 25 minutes to go. They just don't seem to get their heads around that, even though you tell it to them over and over again. So that experience is learnt quickly, hopefully. But it is an inexperienced side, and those imbalanced or unbalanced performances, they come about.
I can bring Leon in on this question because obviously he's been right there in the thick of it. And I've seen that from the sideline, that sort of belief that you have. What's it like being out there, Leon? Obviously, you know what it's like to chase the game down. Yeah, but you need other like-minded people around you where everyone's sort of buying into that. What's it been like on the field when that has happened?
It's just frustrating because obviously you train all week and try to eradicate the mistakes. But there's only so much you can do, really, in trying to give people confidence. And, you know, it just seems at parts of the time of the season, one error would lead to another, which would lead to a penalty, which lead to a try. And it's like Jeff was saying, it's just inexperience and belief. And belief probably comes with a little bit of experience as well. Once you've been through them situations and learn how to come out the other side through adversity, that comes with experience.
So back on to that, Jeff, obviously it's been a unique season in the respect of there's been loany players that have come in. Obviously over the course of those 2 weekends where the Super League clubs had double header weekends, that's meant that a lot of their talent has been drained back to those, back to their parent club, so to speak. Did that create inconsistency with combinations, rhythm, etc.?
One thing that I've found it hard in this competition is the get my head around the lone player system. For a month you might have some players with you, which is fantastic. And as we mentioned before, the confidence, etc. Then they disappear, and the whole playing group seems to sink down. But like that, they're not worthy of playing this competition, which affects them. But at the same time, because there might be a dual registration with another club, the players that have played with you for a month, all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, they might be playing for a rival club, helping them out. So it's a real inconsistency, I believe, anyway, that you know, that you've got here when you've got loan players going to different clubs at that tier below the Super League.
Do you believe that, coming from the NRL and your experience in there, do you think that there's a possible hole in the system then?
Oh, look, I've been here for 5 minutes, so it'd be wrong of me to comment. There'd be experts out there that know better than me, but it does make it difficult, in my opinion, to have a relationship with a club and a feeling and a passion and a culture at a club when players are coming and going. And I understand it's no one's fault, but it is difficult to get them to buy into that when they're probably with you on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they're gone again for a month.
All right. Good answer. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be keeping on with Jeff, and actually we might ask him about his career back in the day also, so he can share some of his stories with us and whether or not he wrote an autobiography as well. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. There's loads coming up.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the RHP Show. In the studio tonight, we've got Leon Price, Aaron Bauer, and Bradford Bulls' new head coach, Jeff Tovey. Jeff, let's talk rugby league now. We're in the middle of State of Origin competition. I was a big fan of State of Origin growing up as a young fella. I got to admit, though, I know you're a Blues player through and through, New South Walesman, but I was a Maroons fan. But let's talk about some of your experiences pulling on that famous blue jumper and those epic. Can I just say it was a different game back then. When we talk about wars, you guys literally went to war. Well, come on, share with our listeners what it was like actually playing those games.
Well, I suppose the rules tend to go out the window when you came to State of Origin. There was a lot more feistiness, if I could say. A few more fists being thrown and maybe some high shots running around, which I got anyway because I was only 5'6". I told someone, they said, what was it like? I said, I can't really remember because the whistle would go, you blink your eye, and all of a sudden the final whistle would sound and you go, what happened there? What happened to the game? Was that quick? Was that intense? It just disappeared in a heartbeat.
Was that, and obviously you played a lot of international matches as well, club matches, grand finals, etc. But was the intensity within those State of Origin games the toughest matches that you played in?
Look, if they weren't the toughest, they were close to it. But the hype and the build up, you've got a week and a half. Sometimes before the first game, you've got a month of media speculation: who's going to be in there? How much are they going to win by? Who's going to win the series? And is there going to be a fight in the fifth minute or the 75th minute?
And there was always going to be a fight.
There was always going to be a fight. Hopefully, it wasn't with me because I won my last fight by 100 meters. But obviously, it was a tough, intense encounter. It was great to play with your peers. You know, it's great to play at my local club, Manly, with some great players. But playing amongst those stars, the Brad Fittlers, the Glenn Lazaruses, the Andrew Johnses, it was fantastic. You know, and I would say, oh, I've got to impress these guys. I can't go away with them thinking I'm not good enough, I'm not up to playing State of Origin. So you'd always get that little tingle in your belly and you say, I've got to do better.
I know, I can only imagine what that must have been like. I was similar going into New Zealand camp, guys that I looked up to, and just sort of like, it was less of wanting to do well and more of not wanting to let them down.
Yes, and prove yourself that you're worthy of them.
And pulling on that jumper.
Yeah, and you know, as I said, it's inspiring to play with those guys that you looked up to and are the heroes. I know it's a bit cliche-ish, but it's, you become friends, you become mates, and whereas, you know, other people just want their autographs, and sometimes you do too.
You know, when you obviously the State of Origins during your era, they were really famous for their fights. I know they're always close fought affairs, but one of the biggest I think strap lines that they had for the game was mate against mate, state against state.
Yes.
And you'd had teammates absolutely leathering each other, punching each other. Well, and you got to go back the following week, well, within a couple of days' time. The next day, you got to go back into your club rugby and be best mates with the bloke.
Yeah, there was an all-in stink in 97, I think, and we had two players, one playing for New South Wales, John Obawadi, and a bloke, Danny Moore, playing for Queensland. And they came together in a fight, and John looked over, and he knew he could beat Danny, so he's grabbed him by the jumper and started swinging and belting the crap out of him. And Danny's going, "John, it's me, it's me." He goes, "I know, well, I know I could beat you," so he just kept going into him. Oh, it's terrible.
So you mentioned a couple of the personalities. Let's have a chat about some of the characters that you actually got to play alongside of. I know you were mentioning it before off air. Steve Menzies, a big name in Bradford, had a couple of great years here with the Bradford Bulls, then went on and actually spent a couple of great years over with Catalan's Dragons as well. But he was always highly thought of as an athlete in the world of rugby league.
Well, Bees are fantastic. Football player, you know, rugby league player. Athlete, I'm not so sure. He's got a body like a dog on him, but he could run, he could score tries, he could tackle. He's a fantastic football player. He wasn't much of an aggressive fighter, though. So State of Origin put him off a little bit when the stink broke out. You know, Beaver was at the back. Oh, someone hold me back, hold me back.
That's basically where I used to stand in every single punch up. I actually, there were some times I'd sit on the ground and pick flowers. I'd sit on the ground and pick grass out and wait for it to all calm down. And because I was captain, then I'd walk over. But being the smallest bloke on the field, it just doesn't work.
No, it's terrible. I know. I'm with you, 100% with you. I'd normally just stay back and say, "Well, I've got a bit of a sore leg. Trainer, give me some water. The magic sponge. Bring out the magic sponge.
That's
after
right.
me."
That's right. So what were some of the characters that sort of...
Well, I think the most obvious one that comes to was I had some great coaches. My first State of Origin, I had Jack Gibson, famous coach, coached Parramatta for many years' success. And Jack was a quiet man, of very little words, but he had that presence about him, very successful. He used to wear the big fur coat. Even when it was probably 30 degrees in Australia.
Which is always 30 degrees in Australia.
Yeah, had a lot of success, a great, quiet man. And then the most famous coach probably had was Tommy Radonikis, who played in the heydays in the 70s with West and with Newtown. Well known for starting brawls, not finishing them, but starting them. Tommy was a funny man. He loved the State of Origin, the contest, the conflict, the aggression. And one day he was the coach the first time. And he goes, it was called Cattle Dog. He said, "When the call Cattle Dog comes down, I want everyone to grab the nearest bloke and start punching the bejesus out of him." And we started laughing like he just laughed then. He goes, "Don't laugh. If you don't do it, you won't be in the team next month." And we started laughing again. He goes, "Well, I'm telling you, boys, I'll get that Wayne Bennett, who was the Queensland coach, and I'll punch the Jesus out of him as well." And we started laughing again. And, you know, you really believed him. You did believe him. He was a funny man. He's a great character of the game. And I think he still pops up on football shows around the country and people laugh sometimes at him, but sometimes with him.
Do you think, though, okay, on that note, There were so many characters in the game. The game, and we were talking about this earlier because I was looking at some of the younger players that you see the women with a microphone in front of them, and we're kind of train the personalities out of them, the characters. They're natural-born people that they are themselves. Leon, for example, well-trained from media, so his personality comes across quite well. If you look at the game in the NRL, if you look at the game in Australia, it's becoming really sanitised. Well, do you think that's a detriment to the game?
Yeah, I do. They're sterilising the whole place. The characters, whether it be the coaches as well, because You can't have those characters that they've taken those, they see them as bad things sometimes. You know, when you have discussions with the referee, heated discussions, or you had incidences on the field which you can't have anymore, even where they think that it's not in the right image of the game. So it mightn't be anything violent or of an aggressive nature. It might be half-pied slapstick, but they don't accept it, and you'll end up, they fine you, or they pull your nose for it, so you can't do it. Or the coach even says, listen, that's not the culture we want at the club. And it is taking a little bit of a toll on the personalities, but, you know, that's life. I'm sure it'll go down, it'll go round again, just like fashion, and maybe they'll get to that stage where they realise what they've done and we'll pick it up again.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. For me, if you think of the growth and the exponential growth of MMA, it seems to have filled a void, an aggressive sporting void that maybe the codes of both rugby have kind of left, because as a sport, we're traveling along the lines of trying to be more family friendly and engaging with the younger audience, that family audience. So sort of tailoring the rules of the game to focus on that element.
I don't think we can get down that path, but I think there's a fine line. That no one condones anything that's vicious or violent in that behaviour whatsoever. But the characters of the game, where you have different personalities, are disappearing. They're very robotic-like, particularly, again, as you mentioned, the NRL. I like to see the referees, you know, have a bit of a gesture on their face, but they're told not to do that as well. Mm. I like them to
personality.
And that is, I think that's society in general. So I don't want to go too far down that path, but we're all getting a bit sterile in that environment, you know, whether it be equal rights or rights of whoever it may be. That's where we're going to.
Just one further step on the internet, on your representative career. I was looking at some of your stats earlier on today, because I do homework. I know you might not think about that at home, but I do homework. But your final international match, 1998 Anzac Day Test at North Harbour Stadium, you lost.
Thanks.
I know you lost because we won. I won. I hung my hat on that.
I can't even remember.
I'm sure I was playing hooker against you as well. You were playing number 9 in that game.
Yeah, I tend to forget losses.
To be honest, I think it was Henry. What was his name? Frank Endicott looked at me and said, "You're too small to play in the front row, mate."
Well, that's what they said to me too. I was too silly.
They stuck you there. All right, thanks, mate. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll be looking at the Challenge Cups round coming up this weekend. Massive quarterfinals coming up, and we'll also have a look at what's going on in the championships. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're giving away a family pass to the Bradford Bulls home game up at the Providence Stadium, Ozsall, this Sunday afternoon. Bulls hoping to get back to 0 points. I know that sounds weird if you've only just started listening, but the Bulls are on -2 from -12, so a big push for them this weekend. Also giving away, at the same time, a signed copy, the first ever signed copy of Leon Price's autobiography. He'll be signed by both Leon Price and Aaron Bauer.
What?
Aaron Bauer. Aaron Barron.
It will be signed by me. I'm not
Double A.
I'm
Double not. A Ron Bauer. Yeah, you can do it as well. And no, I'm going to sign it. And Tube's going to sign it. And Jakey's going to sign it. Andrew, we're all going to sign it here. The Pulse team are going to sign it. Everyone's going to sign it. Please, whoever wins it, you sign it as well. It'll just be a book full of squiggles. Fantastic book with all the Leon's little anecdotes from his amazing 20-year career. Long in the tooth, so many stories. He shared one with us earlier on this as well. And I think, Aaron, if you can post out that picture, if you send it to Jakey, he'll post out the picture and we can see what James Graham looks like with dark hair and dark eyebrows.
Just before we jump into the rugby, we'll be in Waterstones in Bradford City Centre.
Okay, here comes the plug. Wait for it, let's do it properly. Drum roll for the plug. Waterstones?
Waterstones, Bradford, 12 till 1:30 on Friday afternoon, and then 12 till 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon we'll be at the Bradford Bulls Club Shop at Ozsall. So anyone who wants to get the book, get it signed by Leon, maybe a photo, there's the dates, there's the times you need to be there.
Oh, the photo slows things down, Leon. You think it's going to be an hour and a half. Photos, you know, you got to sign the book.
I just tell them to tell Robbie, I'm a good boy.
That's it. You head down, backside up, just get the job done. So, it's fun, mate. It's fun. You get tired of it in the end, but it's the book promotional tour. So are you going to get a big bus?
For what? For the two of us?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
We're
you know,
right.
we've had all the politics out of the way now. You're going to get a big bus, big branded
bus from an election
priceless.
Campaign.
That's it.
No, we'll
priceless,
right.
The book to read.
No, we'll get a sign for my car. We'll just do it low budget.
Just black out your back window.
Yeah.
That's right. But if you put it in the right places, it's going to get the right exposure. Toves, did you ever get around to doing an autobiography?
No, I didn't. But I said beforehand, if I did, it'd be 3 pages thick. It wouldn't be very interesting reading, very boring.
How thick?
It'd be a good nighttime story. Send your kids to sleep.
All right. So let's talk about some rugby league coming up this weekend. Challenge Cup quarterfinals. Interesting matches. Actually, there's some good teams in this competition sort of saving the energy. I think I'm just hoping, and this is an open conversation for anyone to join in. I'm just hoping the doubleheader in the Super League a couple of weekends ago doesn't have too big an impact on the quality of the quarterfinals. I think from my point of view, I watched Wakefield Salford last Sunday. And that was on the back end of those two games over the course of that weekend. And they both look like tired teams. Both look tired.
Some teams looked tired last weekend as well. Mm-hmm. So with a cup quarterfinal coming up, that's not great. I mean, those two teams, Salford, were poor last Friday. Looked tired. They physically looked tired.
But Hull looked good.
Yeah, Hull did look good, but Salford looked really spent. Attacking-wise, they've been really sharp this year. They just weren't at the races last week. And Wakefield as well, I think they're... completion was about 63% last week without being boring. That's the lowest it's been by a long way this season. So they'll both have to be better. But yeah, some teams are in good form, some teams are in poor form. I think that's what makes it an intriguing round. And there's four really different ties as well, especially with Featherstone in the mix as well. Good to see a part-time team in the last eight mixing it with the big boys.
Definitely, sure is. And it's a big game for them. And, you know, the magic of the cuts brings out something special in a lot of players. It's at Leeds Rhinos, so that's it's like a grand final for them. Going there, be a packed house, very busy, over, you know, 10,000 plus crowd. Sort of the environment that you want to play those sort of games in, on TV as well. Great, great opportunity for them to show the club off and the brand off.
The only problem for Featherstone is that Leeds are their dual reg club, aren't they? So they get a lot of players from Leeds every week.
Sort of making
and now,
the point of what Toos was making
this
earlier.
This week they're going to be without maybe 3 or 4 guys who they've had week in, week out, and they're not playing a championship team with all due respect. They're playing Leeds at Leeds. So it's going to be a massive step up. Yeah, it's going to be tough for them as well because Leeds are slowly... I think they're going under the radar a little bit, Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're, you know, everyone's talking about Castleford, everyone's talking about Salford, but Leeds are right in that top three. They're not playing at their best yet, and they've shown over history that they can peak when it matters as well.
Now, just before we come away from the stats that you were just churning out there, the question for both Leon and Toos, respectively. Toos, when you're preparing for the massive event, which is... State of Origin, you know, the game that you played the week before. Leon, you've played in so many Challenge Cup semi-finals, quarter-finals, big games on your pathway to those finals. For you guys, was it a distraction having a league game in between those games? You know, were you thinking one game ahead of yourselves?
It's quite interesting because I know at State of Origin they rest and they have a split round just around State of Origin time, so some players miss out. But I always like playing... sort of 2 days after a State of Origin straight for your club because you're still in a high, you're still in the buzz, you're still pumped with energy. I thought it was harder 5 or 6 days later to back up after a State of Origin, after a big match, because you come down from that high, you know, that bit of a trough, that lull, and your body feels it as well. So I think the quicker you turn around, sometimes it sounds stupid, but the quicker you turn around to play that game, the better. But eventually it catches up to you, whether it be a week's time or 2 weeks' time. If you have a hard run of football straight after those big matches, then you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer physically, and mentally maybe not so, but physically you just can't keep it up.
Leon?
Yeah, I think you always have that big game in the back of your mind. You don't want to get injured, but if you go, you know, if you play rugby half-heartedly, then half the time that's when you get injured. So you've got to go full out, and then hopefully you can come away from the game unscathed and injury-free, and that's the main thing.
I got to admit, I used to. You use that term. You want to take one game at a time, but yeah, for me, I couldn't. That big game, that big event. It was just so tasty. You just sort of like, let's get to it now. Problem I used to have was I played the game so many times in my head before I actually got to the big game event, the quarterfinal, the semifinal, the final itself, especially when I was younger. I learned how to deal with it when I got a little older, longer in the tooth. But before that, my mind was on that game.
Do you think it makes a difference if you are at like a Super League club like Leeds compared to their opposition? And they have to, you know, they're used to that. They're used to that challenge. They're used to that week in, week out. They're used to winning big titles. It's not an excuse, but maybe the lesser club, maybe they get a bit more excited about it, and that affects them later on.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with what Jeff's saying. I just think the bigger games you play and the more experience you get, and, you know, the less it bothers you playing in those games.
All right, so we're into the last minute. Let's just have a look at those games. I just want any sort of one-word answers from you. Thursday night, Wakefield versus Salford.
Wakefield.
Leon.
Salford.
Salford.
Two for Salford. Leeds versus Fev.
Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds.
Leeds.
That's a bit of a gimme, that one. Wolves and Wigan. At Warrington.
Wigan.
Yeah, Wigan. Sam Tompkins back as well. Big boost, Wigan.
I'll have to go for Wigan, only for this fact that a mate of mine used to play there, Tony Mistroff, and he'll kill me if I don't say it.
I'm going to say the Wolves. I'm just based on Wigan's recent performance. I know Wolves haven't been the best. But, hey, just Hull and Cass then.
Hull.
Yeah, I'm going Hull. I'm going Hull to beat the league leaders.
Over Cass,
I think they're a big game team.
I'm going to go Cass because my man Jesse Salafaz there, and he's going to win the probably score the match-winning try.
All right, that's all of us. That's all we've got for tonight. Thank you for being with us.
On Pulse One. Wednesday evening from 6:00.